And now the moderator of Minds Over Matter, Daniel Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend out there, and we also hope you're inside and not driving around like we had to do in order to get to the studio. So settle back in your comfortable chair or bed and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. As a matter of fact, the longest-running audience participation quiz program on public radio anywhere in the United States. So we have that under our belt.
Well,
anyway.
There may be a show in Little Rock or something that we don't know about.
I don't think there's anything in Little Rock I need to worry about.
I don't know.
Except the Clintons, maybe. I don't know. So anyway, that is Minds Over Matter. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Hopefully you'll be giving us questions as well. And we do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together at yahoo.com, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And if you would like to, we don't read the emails during the show, but it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners out there. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, as I actually have, at kalw.org, that's kalw.org. And since Debbie is here, this may be your last week for a while, but we never know. We never know what the higher-ups is, what goes on. And
we may not be here next week.
The dirty politics of KLW. So she may be here next week. She may not. But since she is here this week, we will have our podcast up soon afterwards with her doing her usual fine job at kalw.org. To remind you of the phone numbers, it is area code 415-841-4134. I still read this off a piece of paper after 23 years.
If I take the paper away, will you know?
Probably, yeah. I had to think about it for a while. 415-841-4134. We also have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with the round of introductions, and here's the first. Jerry Nopkin has decided to switch his support from Donald Trump to Donald Duck. Not much of a change, probably.
Good choice.
Yes, okay. The Minds Over Matter staff has finally done caucusing, and Lori Fisher is happy to announce that he is releasing all of his delegates who can now support any human who can make better political sense of the world than he can.
I'm hoping for that because our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was so shocked to find out his degree from Trump University was worthless. He nearly choked at his Trump steak dinner.
All right.
I never heard of Trump steaks.
I saw advertisements in magazines for them.
Really?
Send away for your Trump steaks.
How were they?
As good as the degree.
As good, yeah. Just as good as you would think anything with a Trump name on it could be. Anyway, all that being said, Jerry, let's start with you.
Okay. What singer sold, maybe, I don't think I asked this, sold more than 60 million records, more than Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Buddy Holly combined, and between 1950 and 1963 made Billboard's pop charts more than 63 times, and its R&B charts 59 times.
That's a long question.
I know.
Go over the whole thing once more.
Okay, I'll try to shorten it. What singer sold more than 60 million records, more than Chuck Berry, Little Richard, and Buddy Holly combined, and made Billboard's pop charts more than 63 times, and its R&B charts 59 times.
So R&B.
Eliminates Doris Day, almost for sure.
Yeah.
And Pat Boone.
Probably, although later on he had his heavy metal period, as I recall.
But R&B.
R&B. Well, R&B. So the three you eliminated were Chuck Berry and who were the other two?
Little Richard and Buddy Holly.
Oh, wait. How about, Fats Domino.
Yes.
Very nice.
There was some article I read not long ago about him that he's.
Well,
there's a documentary coming out about it.
I saw half of it.
He's still alive, and he's very shy about his career.
Yeah.
He doesn't like
talking about it. They couldn't get him to talk on camera.
Yeah.
I don't think. He's 88. Mm-hmm. And what is his real first name? That's the second part. Mm.
I don't know.
Fat Schmooley, I think.
Slim.
Yeah. I probably read it, but
is
I
his real last name can't be Domino, is it?
I don't know. That's what he claims.
That's a great stage name, Fats Domino. Mm.
I know. It's too good to be true. But
don't tell that to Mrs. Domino.
No, I'm looking for his first...
His first real name.
Yeah.
I'll go with Charles.
That's
a very common name.
No.
All right. That's okay. Okay. You'll leave that as a question then.
Okay.
All right. And let's see. Laurie, why don't you go ahead, too?
All right. So I have some notes on somebody did what was called the Syllabus Explorer. They collected 100 college syllabus over the last 2 years. No, I mean a million, excuse me, college syllabus. And they ranked the most commonly assigned works. So I'm looking for only works of nonfiction.
Nonfiction
in this case. So of the top 10, only one is a textbook. So I'm leaving that out, a biology textbook. Three of them are works of literature. We'll ask those later. So what are the seven?
Assigned?
Yeah. Assigned to the most college students in the United States in the last 2 years. They appeared on the most different number of syllabi.
So this is both public and private colleges.
Yes.
And it's anywhere from community college to
I believe they only looked at four-year colleges. So let's take community colleges out of the system.
Are these fiction books?
I'm only asking for nonfiction. Works of history, philosophy, psychology, that kind of thing. The one hint that might help, they're likely to be taught in more than one discipline. So that's how they turn up in so many different places.
Oh. So if I said The Origin of the Species.
That's a good guess, but that's not one of them. But that would be...
Are they classic books like that, or are they more modern?
You know, they're more, much more classic, more unmodern. Okay. And they're familiar, period. they're all familiar.
They're classic, but they're nonfiction.
Yeah.
How about like Walden?
Say it again?
Walden?
I'm surprised. That's a great guess. That's not on the top 10. Okay. But that's exactly the kind of thing it would be.
Like the fall of the Roman Empire.
Not on the list, But these are good guesses.
Or Shire's book on the rise and fall of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, not.
No, okay. Yeah. All right.
So I'm looking for the top 10. Seven of them are nonfiction, and I'm looking for those.
How many are actually strictly history?
I'm going to say a strictly history, none.
Oh.
So none are like one historical period or a biography of that. I would say...
They're more, you said, like philosophical, social?
Mm-hmm. Political, philosophical, historical, social. They might have been turned up in any of those. They might even turn up in an English class as reading kind of... That kind of thing. Hmm. And they're all familiar. In this room.
And it's more classic.
I think so, yeah.
No Howard Zinn or anything like that.
No Howard Zinn. It could be something. People's History.
Are
could
there
be
any there. American titles?
No. One.
One. Oh.
One.
Wow.
Yes, one.
And there are books like Origin of Species, you say.
Yeah, I like that.
But not.
All right. Okay. So they're out there and well-known, and our highly educated audience will remember. They'll ask who they're with and say, did we ever read the same things? You'll see.
The kids will be probably thinking, I think I slept through that
one. These might have been the ones that caused some sleeping.
Yeah. We're Cliff's Notes. I use for that. And
there are Cliff Notes to all of these, I'm sure.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to Cliff.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
What famous person was Gloria Swanson's longtime lover?
Joseph Kennedy.
Yes.
Senior.
Cheers. I'm that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Colette.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi.
And I'm always trying to elevate the tone here.
Wait a minute.
It wasn't that about it tonight.
It's all
that won't take much.
Yeah, all right.
Elitist. Here's some expressions I've heard on NPR lately that make my teeth grind. Lately, I heard somebody describe something as putting the kebab on something. What does she mean, and what does it mean?
Putting the kebab?
Well, aren't they just saying putting the kibosh and saying
kibosh?
It
right? Yeah.
I've heard that, putting the kibosh on something.
Kibosh is a mispronunciation. The real pronunciation is?
Kibosh.
Kibosh. And what is a kibosh?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. It must stem from...
You know, caller.
It's a Middle Eastern word, where I'm going to assume.
Well, the fact is, it's assumed to be Yiddish, but Leo Rustin, who better, couldn't find any proof of it. It's a mystery word. We don't know.
Really?
What
really? Oh.
So it doesn't come from the same source as kebab, huh?
I don't think.
You cited Leo Rustin, so it's not Yiddish. Then.
A few times. I even saw it written out wrongly in the Chronicle. That somebody delivered the coup de grace. What did they mean?
What did they mean?
Coup de grace?
What it usually means the final blow, right? The last thing.
The final insult.
If the pronunciation correctly is...
It's coup de grace.
Coup de grace.
Yeah. And isn't it like the ultimate insult, the final insult?
Yeah.
And why is it called the coup de grace?
Coup is that?
The stroke of grace. What is that?
What's a stroke of grace?
Yes. What is the stroke?
Oh, it's cutting off your opponent's head at the end of it.
No, it's finishing off.
Or finishing, killing.
Already gravely wounded.
All right. Yeah, okay, right.
And what is the lion's share?
The big share. Largest share.
No, it's not. What is the lion's share?
Oh, is it the best piece? Like the one the lion would eat be after...
Yeah, but what does the lion's share...
The first piece consumed.
Oh, the lion's share is from Isa, all of it.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Oh, is that right? That I didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah, the lion's share is all of
it's
it.
The whole That's thing.
Good. And the proof is not in the pudding, really.
The proof is in the eating of the pudding.
Very correct.
Yeah. Right.
And when you are told, that final one, I've heard this a lot, they will say it begs the question when what they... really are saying at that time is invites the question, what is begging the question?
Begging the question is circular reason. Excuse me, circular reasoning.
What does reasoning mean to you?
Yeah, well, sir, it means that when you assert something like the Bible is the word of God because it contains God's word, so it contains the proof in the explanation.
That's very true.
Excellent. Good job.
Very good, Laurie.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm. I'm putting the kibosh on the whole thing.
No, that's right.
Or the kebab.
I like this expression nobody uses anymore, is it putting the sleeve on somebody.
Never heard of it.
You know what putting the sleeve on somebody?
Never heard of it.
Well, in the old days, when the salesman would try to sell you something, they would come up and they would go, I have something to talk to you about, and they go like this.
Grab your sleeve, putting the sleeve on it.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Let me just ask you this one thing. Yeah, insurance. Let me sell you some insurance.
So they weren't picking your pocket. They were just detaining you.
No, it was like they're holding on to your arm to get you to pay attention to what they're saying. Anyway, okay, couple questions. What very famous 19th century novel was the first literary example of product placement? The author was paid to mention certain products in the novel.
What century?
19th century. What very famous 19th century novel was the first famous literary example of product placement? The author was paid to mention certain products in the novel.
Can I guess the novelist first and then the novel?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it was Dickens.
I was going to say Dickens, too.
Because he wrote for
He was
money.
Kind of a...
he liked getting
word?
Paid by...
Mercenary?
Opportunist.
Yeah.
Say, yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't...
It was not Dickens, no.
All right.
No.
Melville.
Yeah, I unfortunately, I cannot tell you... I mean, I can tell you, but if I tell you, I'll give it away. The type of products. Otherwise, you would get the novel pretty quickly.
Like harpoons, it would be Melville.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whale oil. So what very famous 19th century novel was the first famous literary example of product placement? The author was paid to mention products in that novel.
Was this book written in the English language?
Don't think I'm going to say
Actually,
that.
I can't think. I didn't think product placement was a trend in novels. I know in movies and TV shows.
Well, you have to remember in 19th century, the novel was...
But not now, currently.
You know, before radio and television and everything else, the novel was the... Is the chief way?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right.
So it might have been just their breakfast syrup.
But
I don't think it was a common.
But this particular
trend.
Writer was extremely popular. Mm-hmm. So
they knew what they were
read.
Doing.
Yeah.
American
yeah.
novel.
So they knew.
American novel.
I'm not going to say.
So it wasn't Honey Nut Cheerio.
It was
that
not.
Was from last week.
No.
The most popular cereal.
So once more, what very famous 19th century novel was the first famous, literary example of product placement? The author was paid to mention products in that novel.
That's good.
The novel was a huge success, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
And was it just the one product, or was it a series?
There was a series of products.
All in the same book.
Yeah. All right, second
late
question.
Late or early 19th century?
19th century.
Sometime during it.
It's a lot of it's
after
a lot of books.
After 1850.
Oh, that's late.
Okay. All right, second question. I have a list of the largest single employers, private employers, in each of the states. And it's a kind of a dull list. But so I picked out the ones that were most interesting. So I'm going to give you five states, and I want you to tell me who the largest single private employer is in those states. So these are kind of interesting to me. Number one, Connecticut. Remember, these are private employers, not the state government and not the state schools, which are huge. So again, who are the largest private employer in these states? What company? Number one, Connecticut. Number two, Minnesota. Number three, Nevada. Number four, Washington. Number five, Florida.
Washington State.
Washington State, yeah. So again, out of these five, in these five states, who are the largest single private employer? What company? Number one, Connecticut. Number two, Minnesota. Number three, Nevada. Number four, Washington. Number five, Florida.
Okay, Connecticut, how about Prudential Life Insurance?
That's a good guess, and there's a lot of life insurance here, but that's not it.
How about 3M for Minnesota?
That's also a good guess.
That was my guess, too. Yeah.
No, not 3M.
How about Florida, Minute Maid, or Tropicana?
No, nothing to do with orange juice.
Oh,
yeah, okay. They seem too small.
So, once more, yeah, go ahead. I'll give you another guess.
How about Microsoft for Washington?
Microsoft is, I think, number three.
How about Amazon?
No, that's also a good guess.
In Washington. I know they're spread out all over.
But, yeah, I have to remember Amazon is spread out, so it's not concentrated in Washington.
All right.
So, again, just who are the largest private employers in these states? What single company? Number one, Connecticut. Number two, Minnesota. Number three, Nevada. Number four, Washington State. Number five, Florida.
Are any of them high-tech companies, say, invented in the last 20 years, 30 years?
In the last...
Like IBM-ish or... Well, I'm thinking more
One
Google.
Is fairly high-tech,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good question.
Yeah, from Union City.
Hello.
I know what Pat Donald's real first name is.
Go.
Yeah.
It's a French origin. It's Antoine.
Antoine.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
Very nice.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, what piano organ manufacturers distributed pianos made by other manufacturers in Europe and sold them under their name in the U.S.?
So what piano and organ manufacturer, once more, go ahead.
Distributed pianos made by other manufacturers in Europe and sold them under their own name in the U.S.
Steinway.
What piano organ manufacturer?
Steinway.
Wurlitzer.
No, not Steinway.
Wurlitzer.
Get yourself a bell.
All right. Well, I can. My knowledge of organ manufacturers is pretty low.
No, they made jukeboxes too at one time.
Right. Okay.
Here's my second question.
Yes.
What would Jack Johnson? Did he take out Jack Dempsey at one time?
Did who?
Did Jack Johnson box Jack Dempsey one time?
I think they did once. Yeah. Much later in his career.
I didn't hear the question.
Yeah. Did Jack Johnson ever fight Jack Dempsey? And I think they did. I seem to remember reading about it later on in Jack Johnson's career and fairly early in Dempsey's career.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the question.
And the timekeeper was it James J. Corbett? Was it Corbett?
No, it was a Western lawman though.
Oh, Wyatt Earp.
No.
Bat Masterson.
Give yourself a bell.
There you go.
So he was Bat Masterson was the timekeeper of the Jack Dempsey fight? Mm-hmm. That's great.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to join us and by calling. And that number is area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. I just want to remind you our panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, from Diablo Valley College teacher Lori Fisher. And my name is Dana Rodriguez. I'm your moderator. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Jerry, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, what do these products have in common? Dry ice, granola, bubble wrap, videotape, and the trampoline.
Well, some granola.
They're
all made out
like
of plastic.
Bubble wrap.
They all have artificial ingredients.
Yeah. Once more, Jerry.
Dry ice, granola, videotape, the trampoline, and bubble wrap.
Were they all invented by the same, or all originally manufactured by the same company?
No.
Is it an ingredient in common?
No.
Is it something about their biography, like the year they were invented, that kind of deal?
No.
Okay. Well,
all have in common. So it's no company, no ingredient.
Not the same year.
Not the same year.
Want to give us a vague hint?
Not any.
Not any hint or
not? No, not an area hint. I can't think of any anyway to give you.
They
would not give it away.
Were they all invented in the same place?
No.
Yeah, that's
no.
Okay.
Yeah, granola seems like a long shot.
All introduced at the St. Louis World's Fair. No.
World's Fair.
Some World's Fair, Jerry?
No.
Oh. How about endorsed by a similar kind of thing?
No.
All right.
No.
All right. Better living through chemistry.
Through dry ice.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder how old dry ice is. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Laurie in the Richmond.
Hi, Laurie.
How are you?
Good.
So for the bios or the nonfiction?
Yes.
How about the autobiography of Malcolm X?
No, not in the top 10.
That's sad. Okay, how about Plato's The Republic?
Yes, that's number 2. Very good. Very good.
I'm encouraged. They're still teaching these.
They are.
How about the Bible?
You know, it's not on the list either.
That's fine.
Yeah?
No, they shouldn't. It doesn't matter.
Nonfiction.
I have no political... It's
Yep. I hope this isn't, but I had to read it. The Confessions of St. Augustine?
No.
Good.
It's good. Another good one to eliminate. Okay. Do you have any more?
Let's see. I think that's it. I have a guess for Nevada.
Yes.
The Mob?
Well, and maybe in a roundabout way, but not specifically, okay. No.
And then I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to name sort of in order... actors who were in a 1980s film. It's kind of a sleeper.
So you right? You want to know the film they were in together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay. All right. We'll start, and if I need to give you more information, I will. Jenny Seagrove.
Jenny Seagrove. Okay.
Peter Riegert.
All right.
Burt Lancaster.
Ooh. Oh, hero.
The one in Ireland.
No, it's Scotland.
Scotland.
Local hero.
Local hero.
Yes,
yeah.
My favorite film. Great.
Very good
job.
Film.
Thank you.
It really is a good film.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Nick from San Francisco.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. First on the text. Karl Marx, The Communist Manifesto.
Very good.
Oh,
number 3 on the list.
Perfect.
Nicely done. Yep.
All right.
Still talk.
And on the private employers, Connecticut, Pratt & Whitney.
Oh, in Connecticut. Yeah. No, not Pratt & Whitney.
Okay. Washington State, Boeing.
Yes,
oh,
Boeing.
Good.
Very good.
Okay. And on the dry ice, granola, would it be they're all subject to patent infringement?
They're all what?
Oh, patent. It's something to do with patents, Jerry. Patent infringement.
Well, what is that your answer?
Yeah, well wondering if they were all challenged as...
It's a very cagey response.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it said again. They're all...
If they were all challenged as infringing somebody else's patent.
No, that's not it, but you're kind of warm.
Okay.
Get some dry ice on it.
You're kind of warm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's a very good guess. I'm sorry I didn't hear it.
Oh. And
it's close, right?
Yeah.
Something to do with patents. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. So last week we talked about men who had won Oscars recently for playing real people. Right. And there's quite a lot. So this week I'm going with the women who have won the Oscar for playing a real person. Since 2005, six out of the winners have played a real person who had won the Best Actress Academy Award. Who were they?
Six out of the last ten
winners.
Is Erin Brockovich in there? Julia Roberts?
She's 2000, before our time on this one.
Yeah.
So these are since 2005.
Virginia Woolf, Nicole Kidman.
That's also too early.
Oh, she's God, just,
yeah,
really?
2002.
What was she in? What the was
hours.
That movie?
She was in The Hours.
She played Virginia Woolf.
Never seen that.
Oh, it's great.
Is it good?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
And
so a little bit, keep going a little bit later.
All right.
Okay. Mm. So since 2005, six women have won the Oscar for Best Actress for playing a real person. In some cases.
Six out of 11, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
And we can't even think of one.
I know.
How pathetic.
And one was last year.
Okay.
In a couple cases, the person herself isn't famous, but the story they were in became famous because of
Julia Child. I mean, Meryl Streep is Julia Child.
Yeah, but she didn't win that. Oh, Margaret Thatcher.
That's right.
Of course.
Margaret.
Right.
She had to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Which movie?
Story of My Life.
The Iron
Margaret
Lady.
Thatcher. Yeah, The Iron Lady.
The story of Data Rodriguez's life.
That's
the Iron
right.
Lady.
So I got one.
We got one.
I'm surrounded by them. Okay. At least that's
five more. Yeah.
All right. Just give the question.
So the question is, since 2005, six Best Actresses awards have gone to women who played real people.
All right.
Meryl Streep played Margaret Thatcher in The Iron Lady. One was in 2014, so that's very recent.
Come on, Dana.
Marianne Cotillard played Edith Piaf.
She did in 2007. Very good.
Yeah. My story.
In Your Story Again.
Yeah.
Called
the Iron
Lady. Called La Vie and Iron Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have two.
Right, there we go.
La Vie and Rose and The Iron Lady. We're looking for four more.
All right. Let's see. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Oakland.
Hi.
Hi. I have a few answers, I think.
Okay.
For the biggest employer in Nevada, is it Harris?
It is not Harris, but you're on the right track.
I know it's one of the casino chains, so it's not Harris.
MGM Grand?
Yes, MGM
Grand. Oh,
it
is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Good job.
And then in Florida, is it Disney?
It is not Disney.
It's not Disney in Florida?
No. Oh.
Okay. For the actresses who won, did Helen Mirren win for playing the Queen Elizabeth?
She did in 2006. Yeah. That's the third one. Very nice.
Reese Witherspoon won.
For playing? Yeah, who'd she play?
June Carter Cash.
Very nice. Reese Witherspoon did play June Carter. Very good.
Okay. And then I have a question for you.
All right.
So Bud Collins, the tennis commentator, he died this week. But for a while, he was, in addition to being a commentator, he was a coach at Brandeis. So who was the most famous person who played on any of his tennis teams?
So this was on the tennis team at Brandeis University?
Not at Brandeis, I'm sure.
Was it at Brandeis?
At Brandeis.
Now I just to clarify, did this person become famous for tennis or for something else?
Ah. For something else.
Oh, for something else. Oh.
Oh.
That could be a lot.
Was it a Supreme Court justice?
No.
Because I think one of them went to Brandeis.
But, yeah, something far removed from tennis.
Okay. Far removed from tennis. Somebody in public service?
No.
All right.
In the entertainment world?
No.
A writer?
Wrote as well, but not best known as a writer, but was a writer.
So, it's not giving away too much. What were the years that he was actually a coach there?
I thought it was a she, maybe.
About 64 to 69.
Oh, that's all.
That range.
That's it. Oh, okay.
60. And do we know whether it was a man or woman? Who's the answer?
Has he told us? No, it was a man.
Oh, it was a man. Okay.
Man. All right. Brandeis,
tennis player.
Yeah.
Well, tennis player in college.
Yeah.
That's kind of
not a writer.
He wrote,
Okay. But not best known as
we
a batter.
You never figure it out because we don't know who played tennis in college.
No, but it's not that. It's yeah.
I know.
The guy's not famous for being a tennis
player. That's the only clue
we need Brandeis alums.
Well, Brandeis, yeah, that's what I mean. There's thousands. Yeah.
Probably Jewish.
So think of people who couldn't get into Harvard.
That's quite a big list.
Let's see.
You want to give us a hint? Or have you?
Let's see. Well, you would. This is one of the last people from the '60s you would think would have been a tennis player, and known for the era.
Jerry Rubin.
Very close.
Well, Abby Hoffman. That's
Abby
right.
Hoffman. Abby Hoffman.
I read
there
that.
You
yes.
Go. Good job. Yeah.
I should have got that.
I had both in mind.
Yes.
All right.
That is
exactly.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So Abby
yeah,
Hoffman
exactly.
was on the tennis team at Brandeis. Wow.
Exactly.
That's great.
Right.
That's great
you
trivia.
Have a great night.
Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Bye bye. All right. We're almost halfway through the show, but I'll do this question first, and then we'll repeat anything that hasn't been answered. All right. I have a list of 2016 campaign slogans that each campaign has come up with. And let me tell you, it's a depressing list. But so what I want you to do here is match the candidate up to the slogan that they're using in their campaign. Some of these people are not running anymore. Probably have something to do with these terrible slogans. But all right, so I have seven. And one guess each, because I want the audience to guess them. So these are 2016 campaign slogans, different slogans for obviously for each campaign or candidate, I should say. So here we go.
These are presidential candidates.
Presidential candidates, yeah.
I'm
presidential
I'm
candidates.
For Jeb! Exclamation point. I'm
no,
all,
not
I'm
using
all
that.
Over that.
Jeb! Yeah, with an exclamation point.
Question mark. Jeb?
Question mark. Now it's a question mark. Number one, a future to believe in. That's number one. Number two, a new American century.
Yeah. I'm already depressed.
Yeah, I know. All right. I remember these are 2016. This year, presidential campaign slogans. Match them up to the right candidate. Number one, a future to believe in. Number two, a new American century. Number three, heal, inspire, revive, which is kind of what you do with somebody who just almost dying.
Heal, inspire,
like.
What?
Heal, inspire, revive.
Oh, that's not a sentence. Okay.
It's a slogan.
I think that's the paramedics slogan. I don't know. But number four, from hope to higher ground. So apparently there's some higher, other than hope, there's, you know, you go to higher ground when you.
Bob Hope.
Yeah. From hope to higher ground. Number five, new possibilities, real leadership.
That's one or two.
That's one. New possibilities, comma, real leadership.
That's really a bad one.
I know.
Okay.
Number
There's
six,
more.
Telling it like it is.
Telling it like it is?
Telling it
well,
like it is.
Well, we know that, yeah.
And number seven, defeat the Washington machine.
Jeez.
Okay. And again, these are 2016 campaign slogans. So give me the candidate to match up with the slogan. Number one, a future to believe in. Number two, a new American century. Number three, heal, inspire, revive. Number four, from hope to higher ground. Number five, new possibilities, real leadership. Number six, telling it like it is. Number seven, defeat the Washington machine. Okay, you each get one guess.
So,
well, a future to believe in is Hillary Clinton, I think.
No.
How about heal, inspire, revive? I can only think that would be Ben Carson.
It is Ben Carson,
yeah, that's
of
right,
course.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'm assuming he did that a few times.
Yeah. One time you or somebody asked a question, it was names of autobiographies, and they were all interchangeable like
though
this.
Oh, they were, yeah. My life,
yeah,
my story.
My, yeah, my way.
Yeah, my money.
Yeah. Number seven would have to be somebody who's not in Washington. And just trying to think which one. Jerry, you take that one.
We can only have one.
No,
guess.
You had one guess. So you
oh, okay. I got one. I got Carson.
Oh, that's right.
I'm
retiring.
You did.
All right, Jerry.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more.
Oh, okay. Tell like it is. It's Trump, of course.
No,
no,
it's not Trump.
He's make America
great again.
Oh yeah,
great.
Yeah. Tell like it is.
Because it's such a terrible place to live now.
Yeah, really.
They're all too depressing to even think about.
So, anyway, once more, 2016 campaign slogans: a future to believe in, a new American century. From hope to higher ground, new possibilities, real leadership, telling it like it is, and defeat the Washington machine. So there you go. What matches up to the right candidates, or give me the right candidates for those. And let's see, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you got?
What do these products have in common? Dry ice, granola, the trampoline, videotape, and bubble wrap.
All right. And we think it might have something patent related. Could be.
Mm-hmm. Patent. He said that was close.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Oh, how about none of them are patented?
No. Now you mean no?
Well,
no,
like no one owns the patent.
Or the
for
patent
granola.
Just expired.
Yeah.
Did the patent just expire?
No.
But we're getting closer.
You're getting
or is
closer?
That catch in his voice?
You're getting closer, but I don't want to quite give it voice. To you yet.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that it? You have more?
No, that's all.
Okay. Generic. There are generic versions of each of those things now, because when the patent expires, you can have the generic version made of something for a cheaper amount.
Say that again. I don't get you.
Well, like medicines, you know, when the patent will
It's
only good for a certain amount of years. When the patent expires, then other companies can come in and make that for a cheaper price. Make that medicine and market it.
So what are you saying that these all have in common then?
They all have generic versions.
They all have generic versions of that. They're now being marketed. So I don't know. Dry ice has been around forever. That's not dry.
No, that's not. You're dancing around it, but you haven't nailed it.
Okay. All right. Fine.
All right. In the Million Syllabus Project, we're trying to find the 10 most assigned works of nonfiction, and we have a couple: Plato's Republic and the Communist Manifesto. Somebody got one of them's a biology textbook, so I'm not counting that. So we're looking for four more in the top 10, and then since 2005. Six Best Actress Oscars went to women playing actual women. Meryl Streep playing Margaret Thatcher, Marion Cotillard playing Edith Piaf, Mirren playing Queen Elizabeth, and Reese Witherspoon as June Carter. We're looking for two more.
Huh.
And one was last year, believe it or not.
And, of course, Angelina Jolie is Henry VIII.
Yes.
Yeah. And the largest single, I have a list of states where I'm asking you what the largest single private employer is. So far we have Nevada, and that's the MGM Grand Hotel, and the various other hotels are in businesses they run. And Washington, it's Boeing. So we still have three other states on that list: Connecticut, Minnesota, and Florida. Who are the largest private employer in those states? Connecticut, Minnesota, and Florida. And let's see. Oh, yeah. What very famous 19th century novel was the first famous literary example of product placement? The author was paid to mention products in that novel. The novel was a huge success and was made into movies at least once, twice. I think it was a Broadway play as well. So the novel was a major success.
How about Les Miserables?
That's a good guess, but no.
No, he wouldn't have put those in. Yeah. Picture of Hugo, I don't think so.
Weapons and uniforms. No.
Jean Valjean stole that loaf of Wonder Bread. That was it.
A baguette. Wonder baguette.
The Parisian baguette. The sourdough was unavailable.
Les Miserables. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Okay, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see, I got some guesses.
Okay.
Let's see, for the employers in states in Connecticut, is that GE?
It is not GE, but it's a company kind of like that.
A big people conglomerate. I can't think of anybody else except for maybe Comcast.
Not Comcast, no.
One of the common books, how about Strunk and White's Elements of Style?
That's number one.
Oh, that makes sense.
Elements of Style by William Strunk and E.B. White.
That's
very good. Debbie knew that.
That's
Look
amazing that is still
being assigned, still being taught.
That's a high school
book. Oh, yeah.
People use it in high school. They use it in college. They use it in all kinds of writing classes.
Right.
It has good advice even for college writers.
Good job there, Colin.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
Great.
And let's see, for Oscar winners, how about Charlize Theron for Eileen Wuornos?
You know, she is one. She's just before my cutoff line. She's down there with Nicole Kidman and Julia Roberts in 2003. I didn't want to make
a mistake. What character was it?
What was her name?
I think it was Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah, in Monster. She was a serial killer. Yeah.
I keep guessing those years because that's about the time I stopped watching the Oscars. Good job.
It's a good guess. It's correct, but not on my list.
Thanks. Let's see. I've got a few questions. A couple. Right. How long was the Hundred Years' War?
It was not 100 years. I think it was
92.
I want to say in the 80 something years.
Nope, higher.
It was over 100. Yeah, it was over 100.
Was it over 100?
Yeah. Just gave the answer. What was it?
116.
116.
Oh.
They rounded down.
All right.
They rounded down, yeah. And then how much does a 10-gallon hat?
How much does it hold?
That actually hold, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't think it even holds a gallon.
No.
I'm going to go with eight-tenths of a gallon. How's
no,
that?
I think it's more than a gallon. I think it's around 3 gallons. Maybe a little less than 3.
It's a lot.
No, it's 3/4 of a gallon. So
I was on that one.
Very close. 80%
right. Just imagine 3 gallons in a hat.
Well,
no one could wear that hat.
Depends
how big headed
size hat you have.
Well, your head. You'd have to be big headed.
Don't you remember Haas's hat?
That was a 10-gallon. Yeah.
And one more question.
Yes.
I've got so when the Reagans, after they left the White House, they moved to Bel Air and they got their street number changed. They had to petition the city. Why did they do that?
Because it was unlucky. Unlucky number, like 13 or 66 or something?
Yeah, it was 666 was the address.
Really?
It changed to 668.
A good move.
Interesting.
And they were big believers in astrology and all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
thanks a lot.
Nancy passed away today, I read.
She did.
So can't make fun of her today.
Yeah, she came over to our house when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
She came
to your house?
Yeah.
To change your address?
She was selling Tupperware. No, she came over to our house. My parents had a party. My parents were kind of politically connected in those days. They weren't Republicans. But
really?
She came over to our house and when she was the wife of the governor. And, I got to meet her.
Do you remember anything?
I sat in the back of the limousine.
Do you remember anything about her?
She was very nice, mm-hmm. very pleasant.
Yeah. What year would this have been?
Oh, I've got to think about this for a minute. This would have been 60... Oh, man. 67, maybe, something like that, right around there.
You weren't even born then, right?
No, yeah, I was born then. I won't bore you with all the backstory, but they were considering my dad for a judgeship, and I think that was one of the reasons.
How'd that go?
He turned it down.
Oh, he was offered.
Yeah, he was offered. Yeah.
So there's no Judge Rodriguez in your family?
No. Mm-hmm.
Why did you
Judge
turn it
Judy?
Down?
Though everybody in our family is very judgmental, and our name is Rodriguez. So.
Who would have turned that down? Why can't it be so personal?
He wanted to stay in private practice.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. He enjoyed that more.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
More money.
Yeah, that really slowed up the show here, so I won't go into that any further. But all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky and Maddie. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm at a loss. If it's not GE for Connecticut, how about like the Mohegan Sun?
No, it's not a casino.
Okay. Minnesota, how about the Mayo Clinic?
It is the Mayo Clinic.
Very good.
Good job.
Very nice.
New Possibilities, is that Chris Christie?
No, it is not.
Okay. And for your list, Jerry, you may want to throw in aspirin to that list as well.
Yes, I would.
Yes, you would. They were once all brand names.
Exactly. Very good.
Oh.
That's it.
And then
now they aren't.
It was Dry Ice was the name
Vernacular.
Of was a brand.
And videotape was a brand, huh?
Yeah,
like Kleenex.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
right.
Really
very good.
Good job.
Right.
Okay.
Like Kleenex, I don't think has officially entered the same way as Xerox.
Oh, you're right.
Well, they keep fighting it, but these companies grew
right.
up.
Mm. Okay.
That's good.
And someone said Pratt & Whitney for Connecticut, too, right?
Yeah, but it's not Pratt & Whitney.
Not Pratt & Whitney. How about General Dynamics?
And it's not, but you're dancing around the kind of company it is.
They make submarines?
No.
Okay.
But it's a...
How about Sikorsky?
No.
All right, I'm out. We're done.
All right.
How about a chemical company in Connecticut?
Dow.
DuPont or Dow?
No, I think that's Maryland.
I don't know if they have anything to do with chemicals or not, to be honest with you.
But it's not DuPont or Dow?
It's not DuPont or Dow, but they could have something to do
DuPont,
with chemicals.
DuPont, I think, is Maryland, isn't it?
I don't know.
DuPont is Delaware.
Delaware, I mean.
They own that state, basically.
Very close. All
right. And let's see. I forgot whose turn it was here. I think it's your turn, Laurie.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, maybe. Maybe it's Jerry's turn. No, it's Jerry's turn because I did the last one.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Joseph Smith claimed that the Garden of Eden was located in what state? And no, it was not Utah.
No, it's
Utah
east.
Didn't even exist then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Pennsylvania?
No.
Well, he lived in he lived in Illinois for, I think that's where he was killed.
Yeah.
And
I think it's east of Illinois.
What was the other state he lived in? He kept getting chased out of one state after another. Was it Illinois, Jerry?
No.
Okay. What state was he? Because he wasn't first.
What state would have had the Garden of
Eden? Was it a state that he lived in?
I don't know anything about his biography.
Let me put Delaware on the list.
No.
Because they have a big chemical company there that did in the Garden of Eden.
Not that far east.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's where he found, maybe it was where he found those, remember he found those golden plates?
Yeah, it is. It's that place.
I think that was New York. Was it New York State?
No.
No? Sue's shaking her head.
Yeah. She knows.
All right.
You know?
Do you know? Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Should say something. Speak up.
Correct.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Do you want to tell the audience?
That's all right. Give the question once more, Jerry.
In what state did Joseph Smith claim the Garden of Eden was?
Maybe it was California. Was it California? No.
Okay.
No, he said it was east of Illinois.
Oh,
yeah,
he did?
That was
okay.
He did.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you go far enough east, you would hit California eventually, wouldn't you? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
So, these nonfiction books?
Yes.
The Prince?
Absolutely correct.
Oh,
great. Machiavelli's The Prince. Way to go, Thomas.
I read that in high school.
Well, you were advanced. You were hanging out with
Nancy Davis. I think a lot of people read that in high school. Well, maybe I
didn't.
Do you have more, Thomas?
I didn't read any of these.
Did you
anywhere.
Did you get your product placement writer?
No.
I'm thinking it's Louisa May Alcott.
That's an excellent guess, but no, it's not her.
What product would it have been?
Excellent guess is not a Bell.
Little Women Fashions.
Depends.
No,
I don't know.
Okay, what about the
petite
actresses?
Wear.
Yes.
2014 led me to Julianna Moore.
It did. She was in Still Alice. She played Alice Daly Howland.
Was that based on a real person?
It was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A college professor.
Oh.
Yeah.
And wasn't the Sandra Bullock blind side person real?
She was definitely real. Lee Ann Roberts Toohey was the blind side person played by Sandra Bullock.
Cool.
She was the wife. They adopted a kid to go play the blind side, left tackle.
Married to Ellsworth Toohey?
No. It was the tackle thing. Very good, Thomas.
I have a question for Dana.
Yes.
Because I think you'll be pleased with the answer unless you know already. But
then I'll be twice as pleased, probably.
We'll be pleased for him.
Yeah. So, you know, back in the 30s when they had, 10 or 8 movies nominated,
right.
The only person that was not nominated that year was up for 2 movies. 2 of his movies were up for best movie, and he's really on the list as...
What year?
32.
So this is the director?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So the director was nominated for...
No, the director was not nominated.
His movies were nominated for best picture.
Yeah, 2 of his movies out of the 10, and he didn't even get nominated for any of them. And he's the only one on that list.
1932?
Mm-hmm. Somebody we both love.
30.
Dana has his thinking.
Is it Hitchcock?
No,
what?
Too early.
Too early.
Okay.
Well, he was making movies, but in Britain. Somebody we both love.
Yeah. So I'll just give you the titles, and then you'll get it right off.
Oh.
Capra. Frank Capra.
No.
Is it too early?
No, give me the titles, because I would give it. Give me the star or something.
Oh, well... Marie Chevalier.
Oh,
Lubitsch.
Lubitsch. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Or 1 Rubitsch. Hour with You and Smiling Lieutenant.
Very good.
Okay, good job.
I thought it was fun. Bye.
All right. Thanks for ripping that out from under me, Jerry. Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to call with a question or answer, it's 415-841-4134. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I'm going to give you a hint on the 19th century novel. The author was French. Yeah. So
So I guess the Les Miserables.
Balzac novel. What's the novels?
Laurie. Eugenie Grandi was it one of Balzac's novels? But I don't think it's a Balzac novel.
I know, it's not a Balzac novel.
Not Balzac.
And he said that a number of films were made. So it's not Remembrance of Things Past.
No.
It is.
Although there was a film made of Swan's
but
Way.
You said,
anyway.
Yeah. So it's more going to be, I'm thinking, like a Victor Hugo. How about The Three Musketeers? First of all, you have the candy bar. Don't forget
that's right,
that.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking,
right.
That was right off the top.
Not The Three Musketeers. Yeah. Well, that's a great guess.
They paid him to name the book the candy company.
Rostand.
Yeah. That's a great guess, but no, that's not. Okay. It's not that.
Are we getting close on that? Kind of historical?
Well, he's French, so I guess you're that close. But. And let's go to a call.
Three Musketeers.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I love that.
Oh, nobody? Hello? Oh, hi, you're on. Go ahead, please. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Sorry about that. All right, we'll go to the next one.
Must
call.
Be a telemarketer.
I guess, yeah.
Putting the sleeve on Dana.
Yeah, exactly. Happens all the time. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Robert in Berkeley.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, I have a list of, nine actresses. And they all have something in common, and I'll give you a hint to begin with that it has to do with the origin of their acting careers. I'll start with a little bit better known actresses. Charlize Theron, Alicia Vikander, Mia Wasikowska, Neve Campbell, Jenna Elfman.
Oh, they were all ballet dancers.
Very good. And there's something else as well. Diane Kruger, Michelle Yeoh, Summer Glau.
Who are these people?
Well,
I feel like I'm reading People magazine.
Well, most of them are well known. But in addition to being ballet dancers, what else do they have in common?
Is it something about their birthplace?
No.
Okay. Were they models?
Maybe, but no, that's not
the
it.
First two are
ballet dancers. Well, other than ballet. Well, I should say dancers in general rather than just ballet dancers.
No, it actually has to do with their ballet dancing. What connection did that have to their beginning of their acting career?
Was it something to do with the fact that they couldn't dance anymore?
Yes, and what was that?
They broke, they broke a foot or an ankle, a toe.
They were all injured, and most of them have ankle injuries. I think Charlize Theron had a knee injury.
Ah, okay.
Wow. Mm.
So the trick is to start out in ballet and then break something.
That's how you get your big break.
Mm.
Right.
All right, sorry.
Good night.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Leslie Caron didn't break anything, and she
had a full career.
She did okay.
Yeah.
And next call.
The project for New American Century was a neoconservative plan in 1992 to 1998, which took us to all of the wars. They assumed in the election... Jeb Bush actually was a signer of Project New American Century.
Not Jeb Bush.
Okay, it has to be Rubio then.
Yes, it is Rubio.
It is Rubio. Yeah, it is Rubio under the control of the new conservative.
Rubio is the guy. A New American Century.
Yes, yeah, it's 98 page. You can read it online. It's awful.
Right.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Okay, let me, very quick question because running out of time.
Yes.
We're going to have somebody visiting us on Tuesday. It is 100 foot long. And it is very dangerous. You know what it is?
Cobra.
Something on Donald Trump, no doubt.
No. 100.
All right. It's now been on every radio show in the country.
A python?
Yeah.
Mighty python?
100 foot?
Okay. I will give you, look at the sky. We can see it, but it's going past by.
Meteorite.
No, it is actually an asteroid.
Ah.
And
okay.
You know, the problem with this thing is they don't know exactly how far it's going to go from us. It could be as far away as 3 million miles. It could be as close as 15,000 feet. That is below the satellite level, and that is the whole danger of this satellite. By the way, the name of it is 2013TX68.
Oh, I thought it was 67.
Very poetic.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Better known as X16.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is James in the Mission.
Hi, James.
So I think I've got a an answer to, was it the woman up for an or who won an Oscar in the past 10 years or so.
For playing real people, right.
Yeah. Okay. So would it be Sally Field for Mrs. Lincoln?
No, she didn't win. Best
oh,
actress.
Okay.
It was a good guess.
Good guess, though, yeah.
Yeah. But she enjoyed the play.
Yeah. And the singing. And
all right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The Flying Nun was not a real right. character.
But I think she was up for. Was it Best Actress or Best Supporting Actress?
Supporting, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and these
all
are
right.
all
I'm
people.
Not
sure, these
but.
Are all winners. I
okay.
think she was supporting.
All
I'm
right.
Sure.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. For the actresses, how about Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle?
Well, she didn't win. Did she?
No, she didn't win for that.
And that wasn't a real person.
I
don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not.
Okay.
Okay. How about Angelina Jolie for the wife of Daniel Pearl in that one movie?
Yeah, but she didn't win for that.
Yeah, she wasn't nominated either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a quick question for you guys. What was the unofficial campaign slogan? Whose unofficial campaign slogan was this? Please clap.
Oh, that was Jeb Bush. Yeah.
Bush, yes.
Yeah. Okay, just one other quick thing. Like, regarding the you said the entire cast of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was nominated last week.
Yes.
Actually, I remember that the two couples went to a diner, and there was a waitress and a manager there, so and they weren't nominated. So, technically,
oh.
that was...
Oh,
all right.
Did they have speaking parts?
What's that? No, they didn't.
All right.
They didn't.
All right. It's good technicality.
They interacted with them.
I don't remember that scene.
Thanks
Very
a lot.
Good.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. I am calling about the campaign slogan.
Yes,
for
go ahead.
Telling it like it is. That's got to be Chris Christie.
Yeah, of course. Very good.
Before Donald Trump stole his thunder.
Yeah.
I was unclear how many you had left because someone called in a couple minutes ago. Do you still have a future to believe in?
Yes, we do.
I believe that to be Jeb Bush.
That is not Jeb Bush.
Then I'm going to have to go with John Kasich.
It is not John Kasich.
Oh, striking out. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. All right. We're going to clean up now. What do we got? Jerry?
Joseph Smith claimed that the Garden of Eden was located in northern Missouri.
Oh, all right.
Which is not east of Illinois, but...
right? No.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Most assigned works of nonfiction, we have The Prince and The Communist Manifesto, The Peddler's Republic, and The Elements of Style. The two we're missing were Hobbes' Leviathan and Aristotle's Ethics.
Oh,
next
Leviathan.
Week we'll do the work. Yeah.
Oh,
you didn't
man.
Read that in high school, I bet.
Oh, no.
And we got all the actresses next
I
week.
I barely read it in college.
We'll do the works of literature next time I'm on.
Okay. The largest single employer in these states, Connecticut, United Technologies, and Florida, Walmart. And believe me, it's a depressing list because there are probably a dozen states where Walmart is the largest employer.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah. 2016 campaign slogans, A Future to Believe In. Nobody got that. Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
Bernie Sanders, my guy.
Yeah.
And From Hope to Higher Ground, Mike Huckabee. New Possibilities and Real Leadership, Carly Fiorina.
Oh.
And Defeat the Washington Machine, Rand Paul. He's
in the Washington Machine.
I know, but they always pretend they're not.
Yeah.
What very famous 19th century novel was the first famous literary example? Product placement, blah, blah, blah. And the answer is Around the World in 80 Days, Jules Verne.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Transport and shipping companies were mentioned in it.
Oh,
yes.
So our audience member knew that.
Oh, really? Good for you.
Yeah.
If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And his lovely consort, Sue Schwenk from UC Berkeley. And I have been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Steve Wilcott and Debbie Kennedy for handing the board and phones. And, of course, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. We look forward to having you with us. Take care. Bye-bye.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's got to be this or that.